Number 7B.
So I said at the end it absolutely refutes what she says, the annihilation of individuality. Actually, that's what we always fear, that our individuality, that our life can be really annihilated, that there is an end to our being. Whereas the foresight of the Holy City shows always the beingness of science, that there is being, and that being remains being and cannot be turned into its opposite. So if we look at it in this way, we can see that that divine infinite calculus actually touches the core of our beliefs that we have about ourselves. That we have the belief that our true, the central point is our true individuality. That this true individuality can first be amalgamated. That it can be amalgamated with a false individuality. That we are not what we are. That we are always something else. Instead of being what we are as an immortal, we amalgamate that immortal with the mortal and say, I'm a mortal body, I'm a mortal man, I'm living in a mortal body. We amalgamate our true identity really with the foreign elements. Or that we think that we transmigrate, that we can influence through our thought, we can influence other people, and we can influence the world, and so on. And third, that it shows that it absolutely refutes also the absorption of individuality. Instead, that in our individuality can be absorbed in the body, can be absorbed in our work, that we are under the stress of circumstances, we lose our individuality instead of seeing that our individuality is eternally reflecting all the ideas of God, that there is no limitation to reflection. And finally, we believe that everything has an end and everything can be destroyed, and that the next moment we can be destroyed, and the next moment something can happen to us, an accident or anything, and we can be destroyed. So this calculus is really touching on the core of our existence, and therefore we must see or can see that we have here a solution if we understand properly what is the divine infinite calculus of spirit. Yes, so John Doe, I left off where we went through the candlestick order, where we first saw that being, our being, rests on the numerals of infinity, that they rest on ideas, on the ideas of God, on all the ideas of God, the infinite ideas of God. Second, we have seen that candlestick shows the calculus, the Christ, which shows really the combination and constant calculating of ideas with other ideas, ideas blending with other ideas. And so we have also taken in our classes the exercise of how to blend ideas with ideas, so that we see that an idea never stands alone, but is always an idea of God, and as an idea of God, it always blends with all the other ideas of God. And that gives a sense of calculus. Where does that calculus operate? In Christianity, in the fourth dimension of spirit. It does not operate in the material universe. It does not operate in an erroneous universe. It only operates in a spiritual universe. So that we only have to deal with a spiritual universe that is shown forth as a realm of spiritual ideas of God. And finally, in the last one, of the candlestick, of the middle shaft, resting on that principle, on foundational, John Dolly called it omni-action. Do you remember why he called it omni-action? Because the definition of God, good, in glossary, gives four renderings of omni. Says, well, God good is what? First, the word is omnipotence. Omnipotence. The second one is omniscience, the Christ science. The third one is omnipresence, Christianity. And fourth, omni-action, the fourth one. So here we have the fourth one because we are in the science order. And so it shows really that the fourth one is showing forth the omni-action of being itself. Therefore, that being itself is self-organizing, self-expressing, self-regulating, that it is self-organizing. And so we have that self-action, the omni-action of being, where we can say nothing is ever going on but principle and its infinite idea. So with these four terms, John Dooley tried to pinpoint through Mrs. Eddy's terminology to reduce to a very short common denominator what the four parts in that candlestick order mean. But we must see the practical application of it, the practicality of it, which would mean that in thinking out things, one follows the order of going out from the simplest common denominator, not from the most complex domination. But I therefore would always say to the students, say, don't try to take too much into consideration when culturing and molding your consciousness. Take the most common denominator. Just sit back for a while and just think out what these four mean. What does it mean that you have a science and a science order that starts out with the numerals of infinity, then the calculus, then the showing the Christianity as the fourth dimension of spirit, and then science as omni-action. Just these four. Instead of saying, well, these four I can remember very quickly. This is not a big deal to remember 4 points. But that is not what we really should accomplish, that we know, that we can remember, that we can memorize facts. But to sit back, and that's always a difficult thing for most students, to sit back and think about them oneself without having any text or without having somebody who talks to us or having a tape recorder going on and talking to us what they mean. But to sit back and say to oneself, do I actually understand, spiritually understand, why we need those four of the holy city, those fourfold calculus? What does it mean? And you sit back and you think by yourself, without remembering what John Dooley has said or what I have said, out of your own loins, so to say, to think out, why should I start with the numerals of infinity? What do they mean to me? Are they the days of creation or are they the numerals of infinity? What is the difference between them? Why should I start with the numerals of, or go on with the numerals of infinity and build on the numerals of infinity? Why not on the days of creation? They are not the days of creation. What are these numerals of infinity? You can fill your thought with seeing they are all those ideas that are the image of mind, of spirit, of soul, principle, life, truth, and love. You can see that we have a universe of ideas and that these are the building blocks of reality, that they are the building blocks and not the atoms and the various smaller particles and the atoms, the electrons and the leptons and the quarks and whatever their name is, but that we have building blocks that are of the nature of idea and only of idea, of ideas of God, of ideas of the seven synonymous terms. Think about that, that builds up our being. That are the building blocks of our true being. You can think about them in many, many ways. I just, from my scuff, so to say, I tell you what I would think right at this moment about it. The next hour I would think a little bit different about it. But the main point is that one feels one's consciousness with that great impression that we get that we, at our building blocks, are ideas, are the numerals of infinity, and nothing else. Not our body, not matter, not our thinking, not our brain, nothing like that, but only ideas are the building blocks. Then you can further, when you sit back and think, now, what do I gain if I see that that ideas are the building blocks of my being? Is that something very terrific? Yes, it's quite good, yes, but it's static. I must see that this is a static concept that I have, and that I must have a dynamic concept, the calculus. So I come to the second point of the candlestick, to the calculus, the divine infinite calculus. And I begin to see that these ideas are constantly working within a divine infinite calculus, that they are constantly working as a dynamic modus operandi that are constantly reflecting other ideas, supporting other ideas, welcoming other ideas, that they are constantly contribute to all the ideas, that they are all intertwined, that no one idea is isolated, but every idea is supported by the whole universe, because in that calculus, each idea is reflected to every other idea. You get the terrific sense that you are not alone in this world, that the ideas that constitute as numerals of infinity my whole being, that constitutes a world that is dynamic, that is caring for me, that is looking after me, that is supporting me, that is protecting me, that I protect the world, that I support the world, that I maintain all other ideas, that I welcome every other idea, that I'm mothered by the universe, that I'm loved by the universe. Can you hear? You just begin to see the interrelationship of ideas with ideas as a whole universe. And that gives us a much bigger sense that we are really not an isolated island in this universe, but that we are the universe itself. That our consciousness reaches our continent and ocean and therefore embraces the whole universe. And in this way, I arrive at Christianity and see that I'm actually, in Christianity, living in the fourth dimension of spirit, in the dimension of spirit, where nothing else is going on but the spiritual idea, where that spiritual idea is taking care of the human world, of the material world, of the erroneous world, of the chaotic world, whatever it is. In that realm of spiritual ideas, I see no opposite. I see no duality. There is no duality there because only the equipotence of God is reigning there. So that my sense of having always a battle between good and evil just ceases, and peace begins to reign within me. That's the realm of idea in which I live. Can you see now? It has given me a line of reasoning through the four and not through the seven, which then I begin to realize that the science standpoint, the force standpoint, and I say to myself, well, if that is the truth that the Bible teaches, that Mrs. Eddy teaches, then I can see that being is omni-active, that there is the omni-activity of the one principle, therefore that only principle is ever going on, there is nothing else going on but principle and principle's idea. Therefore, I have not to go on, so to say, I have not to make it work. I can let principle operate the way principle operates and wants to operate, so that one gets away from that sense, I have to do something to the universe. I have to demonstrate something in the universe. Release me of that sense, I have to live science. It releases me of the sense, I have to demonstrate science. I begin to see that principle lives me, that principle demonstrates me. And so you feel at once the great step you make from metaphysics to science through this calculus. That certainly gives us a turn where we feel not I have to make God work, not I have to ask God to do things and tell him what to do and to tell him when to do it and how to do it and through which channel to do it, so that I can see, no, I have to let principle operate the way principle wants to operate, and then it operates also the way principle wants to operate, and not the way I want it to be done. Can you see what we first have to do, say, if we are considering a structure that is built fundamentally on the four? We wouldn't do that in Matthew, because Matthew is fundamentally built on the word order of the seven synonymous term, and there we would go out from another standpoint. But here, I would say, well, if we consider really John's gospel, it is no use to start out right away with the first verse or with the first incidents and then the second incident and think about it. We would not really touch really the main message that John wants to give, namely the fourfold calculus. So instead of thinking already about Nicodemus or about healing the lame man and things like that which occur in the Gospel of John, we begin to go deeper than that, namely to the basic and culture first that. So that I would say, why not sit back and culture just this line of numerals of infinity, calculus, fourth dimension of spirit and omnia action, and just consider that and contemplate it from within your own consciousness, from within your own understanding that you already have, and let that understanding develop itself. Then you get a firm foundation on which to build then the next layer, the next level of that structure, but then you have a sure foundation which never leaves us. So if we have done that and have a feeling that we have a good sense of it, we can go further down in that diagram and come what I have put on the left hand side to the standpoint of Christian Science, namely the candlestick order is an order that is on the level of Christian Science, not on the level of absolute or divine science, but on the level of Christian Science. And so I can say, well, if I try to symbolize really the word here, science as the word here, through the synonymous terms, which are big concepts, then with the candlestick order shows that that is life and soul. So in as the first branch you have from your side, life and soul to come together, life and soul, because it's from the subjective standpoint of life, truth and love. So you have the numerals of infinity first defined in the science through life and love. And you ask yourself, what does that mean? I have given in smaller letters then an epitome of it, as short as I could put it. These epitomes are always can always be changed in tonality. The main thing is that we get the tonality of it, and not just the terms. That's the art of epitomizing, that one can really change the wording quite a bit without really changing the tonality of it. I try to show here that life and love is doing what? I said life identifies the real nature of the Christ idea. Now, introducing the term Christ idea I must make a footnote or a side note so that we understand why here in the world already the Christ idea is introduced. And that can only be explained through what we have seen as the larger frame of reference than the Gospel of John, namely to see that Christianity, starting with Jesus, that Christianity is that which brought forth for the first time really the Christ idea as the man Jesus. So showing that man, Christianity, has within himself always the Christ idea, and that every man must, so to say, bring forth in himself the Christ idea. That is what characterizes him. And so John was interested to show how that Christ idea came to the fore, came to the front, came to the fore, if you can say that. So that he is using the whole candlestick, not only the Christ part of the candlestick, but the whole candlestick he uses and shows how that science can bring forth the Christ idea in men. A terrific subject, because we accept ourselves as a mortal and know that that is not true, that we are an immortal, but how on earth to bring forth in our consciousness that we are also the Christ idea? But Jesus said, what I can do, you can do too. Jesus was not the only example of the Christ, Ben. Everybody has deep down a Christ consciousness. And so that Christ consciousness, which has been perhaps is in the deep unconscious, in the archetypal unconscious, which has not been brought up to our realization, has to be brought forth again, has to be given birth to it. That's why then at the beginning birth has such a big place value in the story. So let's see that what we do the whole week is to bring forth in us the Christ idea. That's what the gospel wants to show us. So that the Christ idea is reigning and ruling within our consciousness. So so we come to the first two branches, life and soul, which do what? Which show us that life, that is being, that in being itself, that being identifies the real nature, identifies his soul. So I have life, soul, life and soul. Life identifies the real nature of the Christ idea in us. What does that mean? These are just terms when we don't know what they mean spiritually. They mean spiritually something else than what we usually said and did. Usually we said we must identify ourselves with the Christ. Didn't we say so? We must identify ourselves, that's the soul sense, with the Christ. The candlestick doesn't say so. Science doesn't say so. When we say we must identify ourselves with the true nature of man, then that's metaphysics. That's not science. In science, principle does everything. Being does everything. So the very first thing that we learn here is that we let life or being identify our Christ nature. Not we identify us with the Christ nature, but let life, being, the Logos, identify itself within us, the Christ idea. That is the attitude. How it is done, that naturally shows then the further subtones. But we want to be disciplined and just always try to stay on one level right through and not go into details, or we lose ourselves. So the very first thing we learn to know here is that there is a factory being that is life or being, and that being always has within itself the ability to identify itself infinitely. They are the numerals of infinite, of infinitude, of infinity, so that being itself identifies itself and wants to identify itself in us always as bringing forth the Christ nature. This is a summary, so to say, a definition or a summary statement of our attitude. This attitude then later on is unfolded so that we see finally all the details of how really that life is identifying within us the Christ nature. So we start out with that. Oh, I see the hour is over. We make a break here before I go on to the next one.